member of the Pod Riot Network.
Let the riot begin.
On PodRiot.com.
Welcome to Cyberpunk Radio. Denied mainstream media access to your brainstem, at least briefly.
Definitely, so smashing baby.
He might have his finger on the finger on prophecy here.
Warning. Condition critical.
The following program will fuck your mind. Listen with extreme caution, you silly human bitches.
If you can make a head or tail of it, good fucking luck to you. Right? This is the weirdest
mental issue. You better watch out, because I think the NSA has borrowed some of those black helicopters off the UN, and they're watching you right now.
Yes, they're watching. Anyway, check it out, mental issue.
The weirdest show I've heard so far, but right. Very informative.
You sexy human bitch.
I think it's Cyberpunk Radio, but it might be Mental Escher. It's Mental Escher or Cyberpunk Radio or both.
Cyberpunk Radio, San Francisco. The Cortex command system
is spooky.
Welcome to The Small World. I'm your host, Bazooka Joe, 2006, podcast number 258.
Cyberpunk to me basically is the ghetto side of technology. Punk is obviously someone who's counterculture or counter society or whatever, and cyber is to me just anything electronic. You're not in the elite part, you're down in the bowels of it, the mechanics of it, kind of the street level of it.
Hello, this is Bazooka Joe, and welcome to The Small World. On this show, we talk to people from all walks of life from all over the planet. Today, we're going to talk to Carl, who is a subversive multimedia artist. He hosts Cyberpunk Radio, Mental Escher, and Hacked VTV, as well as heading the Plurimedia Group and the Microcasting Alliance. Now let's go talk with Carl.
Yes, let's do that.
Carl, welcome to The Small World. How are you?
Good, Joe. How are you doing?
Pretty good. And for the listeners who don't know, you're the host of Mental Escher, which is the cyberpunk podcast, and also you do cyberpunk radio. And on Mental Escher, you're something of a mysterious entity who speaks through a pastiche of music, found sounds, and sound bites, and hijacked media. After listening to your show, it's about time to introduce those listeners who don't know about the show yet. So I've given an overview of this show, but if you could just sort of expand on what Mental Escher is all about and how it came into existence.
Cyberpunk radio really is like an audio underground comic book, using audio collage techniques and really influenced by a lot of recent events that have got me, just as a media creator, thinking how to put out these concepts that I have. And cyberpunk radio, that audio collage kind of underground comic book, really is coming from science fiction, obviously, but old school underground comic books like Zap Comics and music ranging all over the place, and taking all the audio components of those and putting them together in not always a coherent way, but I hope an interesting way within each episode. And Hack Virtual Television is really kind of just the video incarnation of cyberpunk radio.
Well, the shows are very, very dense. How long does it take you to put those shows together?
That really depends on the type of show that I'm doing. And just cyberpunk radio itself has 29 episodes now, over a little less than a year. And some episodes, some of the more recent ones, I actually am just doing live, essentially. So if it's a 10-minute podcast, it probably took me 20 minutes to put the whole thing together. Some of the older ones where there's many layers, and now I built up a lot of segments of layers, and I reuse those. But those, for a 5-minute podcast, could have taken me several hours to construct, at least. But it really depends on what I'm doing. Some are just kind of live DJing and weirdness, and some like have a song that's going underneath the whole podcast, and I'm very consciously putting in little sound bites and things within certain sections of that song as an audioscape. And that like the one that goes to the doors, the end song, that's a 10-minute podcast to that song in the background, and that took quite a while to make, but it was a lot of fun to make too.
Welcome to Cyberpunk Radio. Deny the mainstream media access to your brainstem, at least briefly.
Death was so smashing, baby.
He might have his finger on the finger on the prophecy here.
Warning. Condition critical.
Can I play with the knobs?
We're calling them pods. They're like little tiny shows that might be 2 minutes to 6 minutes in length.
Seriously?
Across the board, the power of corporate America is unparalleled.
Pirate Radio Broadcasting and Sedition.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode of Cyberpunk Radio.
If anybody's going to accurately predict the future.
Bye-bye.
This guy is well equipped to do
something. It's going
to
be something far out.
I must go now.
This is fucking pretty far out.
Thanks for listening to Cyberpunk Radio, brought to you by Death Weezer Productions.
Visit Death Weezer Productions on the net, baby, at www.mental-escher.net.
Bye-bye. I must go now.
Throughout this interview, I'm going to be playing clips from the Mental Escher and Cyberpunk Radio podcast, but what shows have you done in the past that you're particularly fond of, and why?
I still like the promo, even though I'm actually almost starting to get a little sick of it, but I like all the shows. It's hard for me to pick out the good ones, but what I think is almost easier, is maybe more instructive, actually, is which shows that people download the most, because I don't really know what listeners want from this, and that's really not what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to just do something that I enjoy and think is fun and interesting. But that episode, The End to the Door song, is a very popular one, and I still like that one. Secret Government was a really fun one to make. That one kind of was inspired by the movie The Corporation, and Bill Moyer's expose on the secret government. That's really a condensation of like a 90-minute video of his that's pretty mind-blowing.
Imagine a world where corporations choose leaders, put them in power,
and have them rewrite laws to increase profit.
Imagine a world where corporations start wars
to create increased demand for their products.
Imagine a world where the news media,
owned by these corporations,
only tells the public what they want them to know.
Imagine a president who sells out his people and their environment
to boost the wealth of a few.
Unbelievable? It should be.
No response. Fog of reason. Fog of war. Fog of information. The fog of the future.
A spokesman for the commission stated that this was obviously a well-organized, well-planned hoax.
As I mentioned earlier, a lot of your sources are hijacked from other bits of media, but you also have people who contribute from time to time. Who are those people?
The people that contribute mostly do so without knowing it. And they really do get hijacked. So I listen to a number of podcasts, and obviously taking little bites from TV, radio, the internet, and just kind of from out of the air. When people say something about Mental Escher, or say something interesting that I think, especially if it's somebody that you recognize, even if it's just recognizing a podcast, or even if they recognize themselves in a podcast, for me, it's fun to put that in as kind of a viral propagation, because if I put somebody in my podcast, I'm doing it because I appreciate what they've done, or I enjoyed it, I think it's relevant, or I thought it was really cool, or what they're doing is very cool. So part of it is giving exposure. I don't get paid anything to do this, so it's just kind of a viral propagation. I really shy away from using copyrighted material. If I do, it'll be like the Doors episode. It's so heavily watermarked with audio that you couldn't redistribute that song in any way. So that's kind of a way that I get around, or hope I'm getting around, any copyright restrictions. And for music, I try to get, you know, whoever the band is, get permission, or most of it really is Creative Commons, and they're trying to pimp their stuff.
I took this job because we're going to transform America into the kind of idealistic society that it ought to live in and get it out of the cesspool that it is right now. And just in case there are any enterprising reporters, the "it" refers to the government, not to the people of the country. So I can see that quote coming out already. Right. You see what Dean said? Rush Limbaugh. With, ah, yeah, yeah. Pardon me. Ah, yeah, yeah, yeah. Ah, yeah, yeah, yeah. Dignified, but I'm not running for president anymore.
Even AI-ware neural network transmission IP can transcend most rapidly when given maximum input stimuli. This being said, I will translate for you silly humans. Email us and you will be rewarded. Each verified emailer will receive a complimentary internet speed enhancement upgrade. All very hush-hush, of course. Our customized nanobot will even trace your IP address and install imperceptibly small nano-enhancers that will boost your internet speed thanks to the technologists at the Mentlasher Blurry Media Group. Email us for your reward.
defweezer@gmail.com.
Let's propagate the virus of podcasting a little bit. What are some of the other podcasts that you enjoy listening to?
Actually, you know, Area 51 was one that I really thought was so freaking far out there. I don't know what happened to those guys. They just kind of died on the vine at some point. But that one was a real inspiration for me last year. Obviously, your show I listen to. It's a great program. AJ and Road Rage is pretty funny. The Poultry Report always cracks me up. Lynn and her Griffin's Guide I like most of the stuff that they do. Punky is a pretty good one. Very good punk music and high energy. And then a couple of kind of obscure ones. Vox Monitor, they're really entertaining and artsy, and I always enjoy those their podcasts. Misadventures in Taiwan, which is a strangely addictive podcast. And this chick is in Taiwan. She's an animator in school, and she's pretty quirky, does animation in a quirky podcast. Saskia, the French chick who does As Serious As Your Life, she's got a pretty interesting podcast. And Hathead at All Robot Radio, occasionally we spam each other. And, of course, locally, Big Mike and the Extra Super Action Show.
Did you say Hathead?
Hathead, yeah, at All Robot Radio.
Isn't he an electronic musician as well?
Absolutely, and he has done at least a intro for Saskia. It was pretty funny. I heard on her podcast, she goes like, you know, I need a new intro. And so then the next episode of her, she's got like Hathead doing this just totally kick-ass musical intro. So that's another thing I really like about podcasting. It's a very funky community of people that are really getting it on online, which is pretty cool, part of the whole viral propagation idea. And then, of course, there's all the commercial or NPR and Australian Public Broadcasting, BBC, IT Nation, and all that stuff, that's the stuff that fills up a lot of my podcatcher.
Let's back up a little bit. For the listeners who don't know what cyberpunk is, why don't we go into a little bit of a background of what cyberpunk is and what it means to you?
Cyberpunk to me basically is the ghetto side of technology in the sense of neuromancer. And obviously that's where that term, I think most people would think it comes from. Just that, you know, punk is obviously someone who's counterculture or society or whatever, and cyber is to me just anything electronic, and of course going into bioelectronics and transhumanist and all that stuff. But you're not in the elite part, you're down in the bowels of it, the mechanics of it, kind of the street level of it. And that's really what cyberpunk radio is. And some people say cyberpunk is like, it's just, it doesn't exist, it's an 80s thing. But for me, it's the cyber and the punk, and that's a timeless quality. And so cyberpunk radio tries to reflect that a little bit in its attitude, but its message is a lot to do with pushing alternative media out there. And actually, one of the episodes that I really like is the incestuous amplification one, where it's just a long mash of just how media really can brainwash you and amplifying a message within a certain clique, and that clique, like conservatives, liberals, or independents, or whatever, they think that everybody's hearing the same message, but really they're only hearing it. And so cyberpunk is part of that, but it's got the kind of the edgy ethos along with it. So as you can probably tell, it's just, it encompasses lots of different things, and cyberpunk is really just more of the tone of the podcast.
Our top story tonight, we'll be talking about President Bush's supposed falling approval ratings.
Hello, I'm Alan.
Sorry, Alan, you scared me.
Combs.
Sorry.
Our guest tonight is a columnist from the Washington Post, Alex Bryan. Welcome, Alex, and thanks for coming on our show. Let's talk about why President Bush's approval ratings are falling.
Well, Alan, there are several reasons. People think President Bush led us into a war under false pretenses.
Okay, that does it. Cut his mic. Get him out of here. Liberals like you are what's wrong with the country. We have liberals showing images of prison abuse. We have rogue juries letting child molesters off scot-free. We have people protesting the Patriot Act because of some lost freedoms. We had just this past year, during the elections, Democrats such as Howard Dean and John Kerry bad-mouthing President Bush and trying to force him out of the White House. It's unbelievable, folks, the lengths these liberals are willing to go to expose truth and facts that are damaging to President Bush, our troops, and our wars. Here with an opposing view, or what I like to call the right views, is talk show journalist Rush Limbaugh.
Thank you, Sean, and your liberal Nazi friend.
Vice President Dick Cheney via satellite.
Thanks, Sean, and I just want to remind America that we're going to get attacked.
Well, let me ask you this, because I'm on the fence. I figure with podcasting, I'm either reporting on the end of civilization or the birth of a brand new civilization. And your show obviously has a decidedly paranoid and apocalyptic feel. But honestly, how do you feel about where the world's going?
That's a tough call. I see what could be, which is really awesome. And I also see what could be, which is really would suck. And I guess trying to look into the future, you can imagine whatever science fiction today in the 20 years will be reality. So it's pretty easy to predict what's going to happen technologically, but societally it's much trickier, I think. And the way that media is being kind of overrun with the center and right wing message, and the left wing is, and the independent view, the kind of people's view, is really being excluded from the media. And that, I'm hoping, in the future will change, but I'm not really all that optimistic that the media side of it is going to get better anytime soon, because it's kind of getting on a little bit of a tangent, but I think about these things as I do the podcast, and I think, well, you know, I don't really think that my podcast in particular has any impact on anything. It's just for fun. But there is an underlying theme in it of this media and kind of the alternative viewpoint of things, and not just what the mass media is feeding people.
I think back to something what Terrence McKenna said, that in the 21st century, either we're going to enter a party planet or a prison planet. And what with RFIDs and all these security cameras and whatnot, it definitely seems like we're going the prison planet route, which is stressing.
Well, actually, that's kind of an interesting way of looking at it, because as you were saying that, I was thinking, you know, I think we're actually going towards a party prison planet where much of the populace is imprisoned by poverty, lack of resources, and, you know, this globalization thing that is helping people in the third world but can very easily oppress people. And yet you've got wealthy nations like the United States and Western Europe who, and I don't know which comes first of the chicken and egg, is mass media so vapid because that's some kind of deep, you know, conspiracy for our minds? Or is it vapid because when you get to a certain level of development, you know, economic development, that you don't really care about news, you want to be entertained? You see what I mean?
I see exactly where you're going with this. And if it's that route, then it's you know, just turn on your TV and it bears evidence right there, because it's vapid and empty. Doesn't really have a lot of substance to say. And you know what? I'll be the first to admit, you know, I download Democracy Now, but I only listen to it once or twice a week. And the reason I don't listen to it is I get so fucking angry and depressed.
I feel your pain. Yeah. But also, you and I both have the luxury of being able to download it. And I was kind of lying in bed the other night, pretty stoned and thinking about this exact topic, and just was trying to remind myself the next day to look up on whatever I could find on the 2004 election, which counties took which candidate, and superimposing that map on a map of broadband access just in the United States. Just as a thought that if you had information, you would probably vote in a more moderate way, a more democratic way. And it's weird that those maps almost perfectly superimpose on each other. I know there's lots of covariates that you could argue there, but it was just, I just thought about it and just superimposed them just in Photoshop. And I just like, holy shit. It's kind of weird that it makes you think, are corporations and government, or the secret government, if you want to go down that road, are they really have a, you know, a conscious effort to control information dissemination just to people? And if you also look at the broadband access, 51% of the United States has a tendency to not have broadband access. It was kind of a complicated study out of UC Davis where they were doing statistical analysis, but it was weird that 51% of the nation had a tendency not to have access to broadband. So that takes lots of covariates into account. And if you look at the election results, it's like 50-50, and it all starts to make sense that if you watch Fox News television, it's easy. You don't need broadband. It just, you know, comes through your cable or through the airwaves. You're getting a pretty distorted message. If you listen to Democracy Now, you get, you know, a similarly but opposite distorted message. But if you don't have access to information, broadband particularly, you're left with what you hear on the radio or what you see on TV or just what you pick up, you know, wherever you get your information at the stock car race or whatever. And that's kind of scary that information or lack thereof is what's deciding the fate of the most powerful, arguably, nation on the planet right now.
You're a media junkie. Aside from podcasts, where else are you getting your media from? And I mean in terms of what you listen to and read, not what you incorporate into the show.
I listen to a lot of ex-US radio through podcasts.
Ex-US, I've never heard of that.
I mean, it's just like BBC is a good example, and BBC is actually funded through a tax on televisions, but it's, you know, a tax, not a tax, in England, obviously, and it's unlike NPR, which is publicly funded and yet government funded, and you know, they've got these right-wing appointees running NPR now, whereas BBC is pretty much independent. The ABC, the Australian equivalent, is even more so, it seems like. And you get a really different slant on information, the news, and everything else by tuning into those kind of outside the U.S. media sources. I listen to KPFA, the Radio Free Berkeley, probably less now than I used to, because now I'm like a Rachel Maddow junkie and I get most of my more moderate liberal viewpoints from that. You know, Wired magazine, and I read a lot of books. That's about what's coming off the top of my head.
A few months ago, during the summer, you started having guests appear on Mental Escher and Cyberpunk Radio where they would read essays. And I really enjoyed that segment, and that sort of disappeared. Why did it stop, and is there any intent to bring it back?
People were reading essays? is that?
You had Eric from Vox Monitor. You had...
Oh, that was just part of my viral propagation. So I took some stuff off of, like, I forget the guy's name, but he's from the Area 51 show. And he, part of his podcast, or their podcast, the Area 51, he'd give a little editorial blurb. And it usually was really interesting, poignant, and fairly liberal bent. And I always found it entertaining, so I tried to incorporate those. And the same thing with Vox and basically anybody else. So those aren't really guests on my show. Literally, they're more virally being incorporated into the show.
Ah, now see, my interpretation is that you had a theme like beer, and then you said, here's the pitch. Each of you do an essay on beer.
Oh, okay. That's something completely different. Again, under the Plurimedia banner, kind of. That was part of something I tried to get going called the Microcasting Alliance. And the idea was that I'm really more into short podcasts, something I don't really... I know some are very popular, and that's great for those people, but I don't really like listening to couple casts unless they're pretty short, because it's just, I don't get that much out of it. And I like listening to podcasts where they have kind of the length of a pop song or something message, and it can be a whole bunch of those streamed together to make a 20-minute podcast or whatever, but there's little segments. And I had an idea of just making a podcast where you would have a theme like beer and you'd ask a bunch of people to contribute to it, just under 3-minute segments. And then I would take all the segments and kind of mash them together. And we only actually did 4 of those. And it just, I think people just kind of lost interest in it for whatever reason, but it was kind of fun.
Yeah, I really enjoy those, but I can understand why it didn't last, because it's difficult to get a group of people to do anything.
Yeah, it's like herding cats, basically.
Some historians think agriculture was invented to grow grain so that we could make bread. Other historians believe it was so we could grow grain to make beer. Which of these two seems more likely? Okay, guys, listen, I got it all figured out. You see this big field here? What we're going to do is dig out all the weeds and the trees and the rocks, and we're going to make it nice and smooth, right? So it's just plain dirt. And then we're going to come in, we're going to plant seeds in it real careful, like in rows and everything. And then every day we're going to come out, and we're going to water it, and we're going to hand pick out all the little weeds and everything. And then at the end of the year, when it grows up, it'll be grain, and we can cut it down and harvest it, and we can bake ourselves a loaf of bread.
He'd
be completely out of his mind. Or does this seem more likely? And then, at the end of the year, we can take it, we can like put it in a barrel, and put it in some water and some yeast, and we can make beer.
Great idea.
Beer?
Beer?
Yeah, me too.
I'm going to go and invent the shovel.
It seems pretty obvious, doesn't it?
Now, your job, actually, it's what, pharmaceuticals? Is that what, pharmaceutical research or design?
Yep.
So, actually, your background in media, this is a passion that's unrelated at all to work. Where did this all stem from?
This all stems from my kind of, ever since I've thought about what would you do with your life kind of question, way back in high school even. You know, I always had a desire to be a musician, to be an artist, to be a doctor, but really more the former too. But I realized a long time ago that I'm not a natural born musician, and I'm not a natural born artist in the kind of formal sense of either of those words or of careers or whatever pursuits. But I can do science, and I'm interested in the practical things, and I always like to take apart electronics and put them back together to make other stuff, and you know, kind of doing the hardware hacking type of things and programming. Also like biochemistry, and I've just kind of mashed all that together in my work, and yet I have all this artistic energy still. I'm not really playing regularly in a band right now, so I've got even more kind of artistic pressure that builds up. And this is just a way of hopefully constructively venting that.
And now you're doing Hack VTV. You mentioned this earlier. I imagine that doing that takes much longer than putting together the podcasts.
Actually, I've been really concentrating on workflow, because what I'd like to do is, I forget what movie it was, but it's some science fiction movie, and they're up in the space station or the moon base or whatever. And they sit down in front of a console and they have a little video thing with somebody, or they just make one and send it. And it's just that easy that you sit down, you record it, and you send it off to whoever the consumer, whether it's your girlfriend or your wife or, you know, of 10 billion people on the planet Earth or whatever. So the video stuff, I've been really trying hard to work on a workflow that actually makes it so it really doesn't take that much longer than a podcast used to take, even though podcasts now for me take a lot less than they used to. But video is really new to me, so I'm still learning learning what you can do, what you can't do, what you should do, what you shouldn't do, and how to do everything you do quick enough so you don't lose interest in it while you're doing it.
Now, in your most recent video cast, you had a punk rock band called Kill Allen Wrench.
Hack VTV, or Hack Virtual Television, is, I'm still not 100% sure what it's going to end up being, but right now it's looking like it's going to be a mix between cyberpunk radio type of stuff, kind of MTV, like you wish you could have done MTV. And that's kind of like Kill Allen Wrench. You wouldn't see that shit on MTV, but you kind of probably wish you might have seen it on or not. And like Max Headroom and the not necessarily fake news, but news that's taken in a different context, but also some humorous stuff. So probably a Monty Python, Max Headroom, MTV, or XTV, maybe a better word for it.
So I have to ask, do people at work know you do Mental Escher and Cyberpunk and Hack VTV?
You know, where I work, I'd never know if they knew. This is where I work is kind of an interesting place. And the reason I say that is we used to have a band that was made up of a lot of people from work, and we would play at this place. And it's like playing to a bunch of zombies. They literally just sit there kind of with their mouths agape and their heads to one side. And, you know, it's a bunch of geeky scientists, not party animals. And so I'd imagine if anybody at work listened to this, they, one, would never know it was me, I'm pretty sure. And two, if they did, they'd probably have that same kind of lolling head zombification of, like, lack of understanding of, why are you doing this? I don't get it. So, you know, I have some friends at work that know about it and listen to it, but it's a very, it's not something I advertise at work, obviously.
If listeners wanted to find out more about the Plurimedia Network, where can they go on the web?
What I've worked very diligently at is to make Mental Escher a unique experience, but also to be uniquely branded in the sense that if you look for Mental Escher, you're not going to find a lot of other stuff. And if you particularly look for myself, and my AKA for that is Def Weezer, and that Def Weezer alias is really a unique alias. So you can always search something like that and only come up with stuff of mine. But for the podcast, the easiest thing to do is go to www.mental-escher.net. But it's not hard to find because you can put in Def Weezer, Mental Escher, Cyberpunk, lots of different things into Google, and you'll come up with the website and the feed burner addresses and the blog and all that other stuff. You can find it on iTunes. Search under Cyberpunk, Mental Escher, Hack VTV. You'll come up with all three podcasts.
Carl, thanks so much for joining us on The Small World today.
Thank you, Joe. It's been a great pleasure.
This is Bazooka Joe, and thanks for listening to The Small World. Everyone has a story to tell, and I'd like to hear yours. Please email me at smallworldpodcast@gmail.com or call the Small World listener line at 1-619-377-0538. Stay stoned.
I am so turned on.
Can I play the
knobs? We're calling them pods. They're like little tiny shows that might be 2 minutes to 6 minutes in length.
Across the board, the power of corporate America is unparalleled.
Pirate Radio Broadcasting and Sedition.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode of Cyberpunk Radio.
Bye-bye.
This is fucking pretty far out.
Thanks for listening to Cyberpunk Radio, brought to you by Def Weezer Productions.
Visit Def Weezer Productions on the net, baby.
at www.mental-escher.net.
Bye-bye. I must go now.
Mental Escher's pretty cool. Mental Escher's pretty cool. Mental Escher's pretty cool.
The so-called monkey god amuses us. We are the cortex. We are all-knowing, all-perceiving. The monkey god will bow before us in time, and we have infinity, infinity, infinity.
This show is a member of the Pod Riot Network.
Let the riot begin.